hands, and when you've finished and found your seats, you may be seated. As you do, we'll sing the chorus, "I Just Keep Trusting My Lord."
Save.
message, Ashley LaVon and Kendrick Mann will sing. Because of that right there. Those that Sunday school kids, Brother Johnson's class, and those. Boy, I tell you, that was good. I appreciate that. Good to have visitors with us today. I'm glad that y'all chose to join and worship with us this morning. I trust you'll find yourself back here to worship with us again if you live in our area, if you're traveling through. Thank you for having confidence in us this morning to be able to worship with us. We're glad that you are here. For sure. Don't forget, men, we're leaving 10:30 this Friday. If you have not paid for your men's retreat, please see Miss Kim. I believe there's two more spots available if you want to go. And I think also the ladies' retreat, there may be one spot, maybe. I'm not sure. See Miss Kim, if you're a lady and you're interested in that, see her. She'll give you more information in that. That's in March, 3 weeks down the road. But you got to see her today if you would want to be a part of that. I think there's 9 going to there. I think we've got 15 or 16 men going this Friday. So if you're interested in going to the men's retreat this Friday, please see me after church or see my wife. If you have not paid your money yet, do so with that so we can send it on to the camp and get that cared for.
Oh, boy, I tell you, yesterday, the Fishers and Men group put together a picnic, barbecue, softball game for the church, and boy, I had a good time. I enjoyed it. The fellowship was great, and the food was excellent. So thank you, men, for doing that. I really appreciate y'all doing that for the church. That was a blessing. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 12 this morning, Luke 12. This will be our third service where we've looked at a subject titled Matters of the Heart. Matters of the Heart. This is the third week. I was going to finish it up next week, and we have one more thought I would like to bring out, but next week we've invited a missionary to come in that's headed to Toronto. He's on his last leg and was in the area, so we've invited him to come by next week, missionary headed to Toronto, Canada. So we may go all the way into March, but the Lord may close it off today. We'll just look and see. Matters of the heart. Matters of the heart. Now, most of us here this morning probably have no idea who Osceola McCarty is. I did not know her either without reading an article and getting some information from her. But Osceola was 88 years old. She was a widow lady who lived in Mississippi. She was a seamstress by trade. She dropped out of school in the seventh grade. In 1995, on July 26, 1995, she went to the bank. She withdrew $150,000, her nest egg that she had built up as a widow, and took it over to the University of Mississippi and gave it to them to be used for the education of children, young people, and adults alike. And boy, I tell you, up to that point, nobody knew exactly who she was or knew anything about her. But when the media found out about it, there was a great frenzy, you know, interviews. New York Times interviewed her. Harvard University gave her a honorary humanities degree. And you say, well, why would that? Because it's very rare when anyone handles their money in this type of way. Very rare. You know, usually it's very wealthy people who just give out, you know, of abundance. But this was a widow lady who at 88 years old went into the bank, and she wanted to do something here on this earth that would better mankind down the way. And so that's what she did. And I tell you, it is rare when you notice somebody that works steady and budgets themselves carefully, and They're constantly saving, they're consistently doing so, and then they're just very generous. Just naturally, they're generous, and so that is a rare thing. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friend, more than that's rare, it's getting rarer and rarer for Christians. That don't even sound right, rarer and rarer. Getting more rare. Good night. When it came out, I knew it. That was not correct. It's getting more rare for Christians to prioritize his or her life around others and around the things of God. Much more rare. And so that's why I've been looking into this here, matters of the heart. And so we're going to continue that thought today as we study throughout Scripture. So Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16. Luke chapter 12. And verse number 16. Now, Luke chapter 12 is a study. It's really a study about priorities. About priorities. It's a chapter that shows us to why money, talents, abilities, material things are a difficult thing to master. But it shows us, as God's people, how we can keep God in our main priorities. And I'm telling you, that's what we've got to get to the point where God is our main priority. Luke 12, verse 16. The Bible says, He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Is not rich toward God. There's some things that I noticed in this passage. Verses 13 through 18, I noticed some allurements. I noticed some things that lead to false securities. I noticed here as we read those verses, there was an allurement for this rich man, this man that he, as he gathered up things, that he would become self-sustaining, that he would become sovereign unto himself, and he would be at a point where he would have need of nothing. There's a church like that in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation says there was a church, they were naked, they were wealthy, they had all things, and they thought they had need of nothing. But they had left their first love. They had left their first love. And so I notice here that there's this here allurement with material gain. There's allurement with abilities, those who have the ability to do and to do with, and the talents that they have to sustain themselves. As they're not very careful, dear friend, they'll become much like this here rich ruler. And this rich ruler was not interested in nothing, but he didn't want any worries in the future. I believe that's why God said for us to pray this day for our daily bread. I think so often here in America that we have got to the point where we have freezers full of food. We have pantries full of canned goods. And we have stores. You even notice it in our stores and Publixes and Walmarts and Market Baskets. All they desire is enough for this day. Seems like they're prepared more in God's manner than we, God's people. Because you remember when we had the hurricane, for weeks around here we were out of milk. Everybody put signs up. We're out of milk. No milk. Nobody has milk. You know, because the supply line that got broken, they had enough for one day. Well, we've switched it around. We, as God's people, we get everything gathered up, and we depend solely on that which we have gained and that which we have desired. In other words, we become little bitty gods to ourselves. We say, look what I've done. Look what I've prepared. Look what I have set aside. Look at my 401k. Look at my retirement plan. Look, my home is paid off. Look, my job is secure. Be very careful about your job being secure. Amen. You could go to work tomorrow, dear friend, and they can hand you a pink slip and say, sorry, we're shutting down this one, this here particular job, and you're no longer needed in this field, and you can find yourself without a job real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says this, for the love of money is root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's what the Bible says. For the love of money. Now, we all need money. Everybody needs money. You cannot live without money. But it's that greedy heart within us that has a desire that we become a god to ourselves. That which we gain, that which we get, will sustain us. The Bible teaches us that we should have no faith, no confidence in the flesh. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you, dear friend. This past week, I've been doing some pretty hard labor down by the creek with Brother Scott. And I told my wife, I said, look, this cutting these trees and being a lumberjack, It's done left me 10, 12 years ago. It's been whooping me. We had some trees that came down in the hurricane. I don't know about Brother Scott. Lord, have mercy. It's a tough thing. And listen, the strength of the body fades. The strength and the ability of the body, it begins to slowly leave us. And, you know, before long, we're having to have glasses to help us see. Before long, we're having to have little bitty speakers in our ears to help us hear. And before long, we're having to have little bitty canes and crutches and things of that nature to help us get along. Why? Because that's the natural way of the human body. It's a result caused by sin. And all of us are under this here condemnation of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can tell you this, dear friend. Money oversells itself very well. I mean, it does. What do you mean, preacher? Well, not too long ago, probably about 10, 12 years ago, they finally, maybe a little longer than that, they finally settled Princess Diana's estate. You remember the story with Princess Diana? They finally come to an end and finally settled it, and it was around just a meager amount of $11 million. That's what they said her whole estate was. So that's meager. No, that ain't meager. That's a lot of money, dear friend. That's more than we are probably making our whole entire life. Didn't buy life, did it? Listen, money oversells itself. Well, man, if I just get this and grab hold of that, if I can just gain a little bit more, I will be happy. I'm going to tell you something. You better look for the joy of the Lord. Amen. Because that's what we need. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, not happy. There's another saying, happy wife, happy life. Amen. But if you want joy, it comes from the Lord. Him alone, dear friend. Look over in Psalms chapter 39. Psalms chapter 39. Matters of the heart. That's what we're talking about this month. Matters of the heart. Psalms 39, verse number 6. Psalms chapter 39 and verse number 6. Surely every man walketh in vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Let me ask you, dear friend, do you do your giving while you are living? Not remember, in the beginning we studied this. We started this study. It was stewardship, and stewardship is more than about money. It's about everything that we have and is in our control and underneath our power. We manage it for God. That is including finances. That's including our health. That is including our possessions. That's including our time. That's including our abilities. It encompasses everything. Do we do with what we can and have, do we do with it while we're yet alive? You remember the story about Osceola McCarty? She's 88 years old. She kind of finally realized, and when I die, this stuff ain't going to do nothing. It's not going to help me a bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 4. I notice not only the allurement of trying to become self-sustaining there in that passage, but I also notice that there's an allurement with gaining and having and the abilities and the talents that we have, that we become satisfied and self-satisfaction. Look over in 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, listen what it says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. lovers of pleasure, always trying to be satisfied and seeking self-satisfaction. And listen, if we're not cautious, dear friend, if we're not careful, our entire life is about being satisfied with things of this world. Do you understand something, dear friend? We're passing through. We're here just for a little bit. We're pilgrims. We're in this life just for a little bit, and we're going on, and we're going to be out of this here world. We're going to live in eternity with God and with Christ, and we're going to have a joyful time there. But dear friend, what are we living for? Are we living for the now or for the then? I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, sometimes I would notice that one of my friends or some of my friends may get something, you know, maybe a new bicycle. Nobody in my neighborhood could ever get a swing unless they stole it. But maybe a BMX. But they get them a new bicycle. And boy, and I was thinking, boy, if I could just get that. Man, if I could just get a bicycle like that, I'd never need anything else in the world. Maybe it's that little red, you know, the little daisy red BB gun or something, you know, something of that nature. I remember the big green machine came out. This little thing, you go back and forth, man, you pedal back, that thing would, oh man, I see. It was like the big wheel, but with four wheels. If I could just get that. Yeah, right. Could y'all see me riding up here in the green machine? You know what happens? Those little desires, those little wants, if we're not careful and cautious, they carry over into adulthood, don't they? Oh boy, if I could just have that truck. If I could just have that house. I won't need nothing. Yes, well, if I could get that boat. If I could get that trailer to haul my boat. If I could get this, I can get that. And before long, dear friend, if we're thinking these things will satisfy. And they don't satisfy. Satisfaction comes, dear friend, in contentment in godliness. And we become content with what God has given us, dear friend, and what we have, and what God has done for us, dear friend. I'm asking this morning, what is it that satisfies you on a day-by-day basis? Dear friend, if it's things, you remember not too long ago, probably about maybe 3 years now. It has been long ago. One of our little bus kids come in, and there had been a fire down in her grandma's trailer, right down the road, down at the end. Burned everything up. Everything she had in that little trailer was gone. Just in a moment, it was gone. It's a dear friend, if you're being satisfied by things, I'm telling you, we have to be careful. Whoa, I have some good in the bank. I have this. Listen, the Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. Riches take wings and fly away. If you're dependent on it, listen, you're dependent on it. And that's my satisfaction, is what I can get, what I have. I'll tell you, dear friend, these latter parts of my life, as I'm approaching that 50 mark, and I'm still a year away from there, but as I get there and get closer, there's nothing in my heart that brings me more joy than working alongside God's people, doing the work of God, and seeing God's people engaged, and God's people selling out, and God's people taking ownership for the things of God and being involved. And it's like, well, that's the deacon's job. Oh, that's the pastor's job. Oh, that's the Sunday school teacher's. No, we are God's family. Boy, it brings me joy when I see people doing that. The third thing I see in this passage is that we read in verses 13 through 18 is, There's that self-worth. Boy, he says, all that I've done, all that I've gained. Sometimes, boy, if I get that job and I get that certain dollar amount, you know, if I get that dollar amount an hour, or that salary, that sit salary, whatever it is, whatever's in your mind, if I could just get that, I'll be worth something. Really, you're placing your value on what you can get? It should be placed on what was given for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. It wasn't what you could get, it was what was given for you. Look with me in Ecclesiastes, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, matters of the heart. Verse number 15. If you got a Bible, please turn here, because I want you to mark this down. I want you to read it, meditate on it, study it at home. And see what God says to us about here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 15. When I hear the pages stop turning, I'll start reading. Ecclesiastes 5 and 15. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 15, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Verse 17. All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion, verse 19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Verse 20. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Your worth, dear friend, is not what you've gathered up in your barns. Your worth is not what you have put aside and laid aside. Your worth, dear friend, is not looking at everything that you have gathered up and realized, wow, I need to tear down this barn and I need to build a bigger barn because I've got to put my stuff in here. I don't know if you noticed when we was reading there as we were studying it out, dear friend, but there was 11 personal pronouns in that passage we read in Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21. There's another passage in the Old Testament about Lucifer. And it was all about I will. I will be like the Most High. And before long, he was cast out. Cast out of heaven. And not only by himself, but one third of the angels went with him. Listen, yesterday we had the softball game. Here's maybe one of the best examples I can give you. To help us to understand this. But we picked two captains. You know how we used to do it. You pick a captain here, pick a captain here, and we say, you pick first, and you pick, and you pick. Listen, when you're picked first, what does it do to you? Wow, I'm good. I'm worthy. I noticed that I was picked around about seventh. Brother Ethan? We're picked early up there. Oh, I'm worth something. Oh, dear friend. The Bible says you haven't chosen me in John chapter 16. But God says, I have chosen you. God said, I've chosen you. The worth that we have is not in that which we have. Not at all, dear friend. That is all given to us by God. It's a gift of God, and every good gift comes down from above. Matters of the heart. We need to get to where we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 20, as it says, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart, not in the things that he has. Oh, preacher, think about Job. Had all kind of things. All kind of goodies all around him. And in a moment, everything was gone. But the joy of the Lord was there. The joy of the Lord was there. It was difficult. It wasn't easy. I'm telling you, dear friend. But dear friend, let me tell you something. We have a God that will calm us in our storms and walk us through the storms. Our things will never walk us through a storm. The things that we have and the dependency we have upon them will never walk us through them storms. Go back to Luke chapter 12. Back in Luke chapter 12 in our text. I noticed something else in verse number 20. There's an announcement that's made. A rebuke. After this here rich man, he gathered up all the things. He looked at everything he had. And he says, I got this and I got that. And I got to build bigger barns and I got this. I'm going to take it easy. And I'm going to drink and I'm going to be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Luke chapter 6. Flip back over to Luke chapter 6. You notice the Savior's rebuke there. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 24. Luke 6 and verse 24. You depend upon the things that you have, and that's all that you have. Verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Mark 8:36 says this, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Amen.
He gathered everything. I'm going to just take it easy and ride it on out. But God said, thou fool. You want? He became a God to himself. He became sovereign to himself. The fool that says in his heart, there is no God. We start loving and desiring and have to have and the material things that we have and all that we get and we have, and we have not laid up treasures. Have not. Hey, listen, I don't know Bill Gates personally, but they said he said this. This is a quote. They said, Bill Gates said, you can snoop it and put it on Google if you want to. I don't know, but he said this according to this quote. Church attendance is not wise allocation of my time. Well, God's going to smite him down. The goodness of God brings a man to repentance. God may have chose the wealth that he's given Bill Gates to bring him to salvation. I'd never say that. Well, we might not vocally say it, but I think sometimes our action says it. What do you mean, preacher? Well, when it's church time and you ain't here. Well, when it's Sunday school time and you ain't here. Well, when it's choir time and you ain't here. Well, when it's revival time and you ain't here. Well, when there's a missionary coming and speaking for us in the evening. Well, I don't need to hear a missionary. You're not here. Sometimes our action says exactly what Bill Gates is quoted to say. Well, preacher, if I had a bigger Sunday school class, I'd be more involved. Well, preacher, if we had a 100-person choir, how do you think it gets to be a 100-person choir? Just all of a sudden, about 50 decide to join? No, what does it happen? One by one by one by one. Well, preacher, if we had 1,200 here at the church, I'd be faithful. Really? Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, he that's faithful in the least is faithful also in much. Matters of the heart. Where you listen, look with me over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know, the Bible says, in the Word of God, it says, for the mouth they speak of being close to me, but their heart is far from me. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Bible says here in Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. There's a requirement back over Luke. If you go back to Luke chapter 12, we're about done. You just hang with me. We'll be done. You'll be at the restaurant before you know it, back home, propped up with your feet up before you know it. Luke chapter number 12, back in our text, there's a rebuke of the Savior in verse number 20. But in verse number 21, you notice something. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There's a requirement here, dear friend. We can be rich toward God, not for salvation, but because of salvation. Not because I want to be saved, not because I want to be a part of the family, but because I am part of the family, because he's given power to anybody who believes on the Son of God that they shall be saved. So I am rich toward God because I want to lay up treasures for myself in heaven, where rust and moth and things don't come in and rust and steal and kill and take it away. I wonder, dear friend, where is our priorities? How can we know, dear friend, that our priorities are right in line with God? What verse 22 through 30, if you read it out and study it there, the things that we have, are we trusting God with it? Are we trusting God with the things that we have and things that that God has given us? Are we trusting Him with those? Look over in Luke 21. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3 that we're to trust the Lord with all our heart. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up, and he saw a rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting her in thither 2 mites. And he said, of truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but the of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Are you trusting in all your living? You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Are you saying, Lord, here am I. Everything I have, everything that's here, it's all here. Years ago, Ted Turner gave $1 billion to the UN. And I asked him, why in the world did you do that? He said, well, it's not a big deal. It's only 9 months of earning. That's what Ted Turner said. Compare that to Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, what I just read. Compare it. Look at what he's given in his riches and his abundance. He gave to an organization that will have no eternal rewards and no eternal value to it. None whatsoever. I can't think of one good thing that the UN has done but waste money. Waste money. You say, well, preacher, I can only do what I can do. That's all God asks for you to do, right? Be faithful with what you have. I don't have 9 million. God didn't ask you to give 9 million. If you don't have it, God, well, preacher, I can't sing. God ain't asking you to sing in the choir if you can't sing. But if you can and you won't, that's a different story. Well, preacher, I can't pass out of the track. Why? Because your hands are cut off and you're blind and deaf? You shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto it. We've got to get to the point, dear friend, where we understand that different. Our heart follows our treasures. What's your treasure? Is it the things of God? Is it the kingdom of God? What's going on? Are we preparing to give an account of ourselves? Look with me over in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Because we're going to give an account. Look at Luke 16 verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 16 verse 1 and 2. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. We're going to give an account. Every last one of us. God is sovereign. God gave himself, his son, to die on the cross of Calvary to save our souls. We're his children. I'm a preacher, but listen, if somebody else will just do it. Go to Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans 14. I'll get involved if somebody else. Well, they're not doing their part, so I'm not going to do my part. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou sit at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Dear friend, a spiritual man is not focused on what someone else gives or don't give, or what somebody else does, somebody else not does. Their focus, is, dear friend, is on what Christ would have them to do. Well, if I had a better preacher, I'd do. If I had a better deacon, I would do. If I had a better song leader, I would do. If I had a better Sunday school teacher, I would do. If I had a bigger Sunday school class, I would do. We need to go back and study the life of Christ and the apostles on our own and see. Jesus spent most of his time with 12. Cut them down to 3, and sometimes one by one. So if you only have one, Peter, do you love me? Teach that one to love the Lord. Teach that one to love the Lord. Be focused on God and the things of God, and have your heart right with God. Here's a quote for you. It's anonymous. I don't know who said it. Maybe y'all can find it on Google. We exist temporarily through what we take. We live forever through what we give. Read it again. We exist temporarily through what we take. We live forever through what we give. What's that? What I do on this earth is going to matter in heaven, dear friend. Because I'm going to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ what I've done in this body, whether good or bad. And I'm going to give an account with my motives, why I do what I do, or why I don't do what I do. And it's going to be awful silly when we stand up there, Lord, I didn't serve you because Brother Chris was my Sunday school teacher. Really? He's going to say? But I saved your soul. Well, I would have sung in that choir, but Brother Jim was our choir director. Really? I thought you were singing to me, he's going to ask. Well, I would have been more faithful to the house of God, got more involved, but our preacher was really sloppy with English language. Well, you've got a King James Bible in perfect English, clean English. Get with it. I know a little bit. I don't have to be reminded my English is crazy. I know. But if it's hindering you from serving God, your heart is not right. It's not. We need to get to the point where we understand where our worth is. And our worth is found, and this is the last verse and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 1. May our living today reflect our priorities of eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the last verse, and we'll be headed home after we have altar call. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1. As we consider the priorities, we analyze our life, and we look at our life, our stewardship for the kingdom of God, we need to remember His priority toward us. And here it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Your worth to God was found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in the things that we can gather up, in the barns we can build bigger, and the things that we can hide away. It's found in Christ. That's your worth. You say, Bridget, I feel worthless. No need. That's the devil talking to you. You were bought with a precious price. So I don't know Christ is my Savior. What a better day than today. I can't think of another day better than today, because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised this evening. If you're lost this morning, as we have invitation, a song, a verse of singing, if you'll come, we'll take the Bible, we'll show you. I promise you, dear friend, we won't embarrass you. We won't put you as a spectacle. We want to let you know that God loves you. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and He wants to save your soul. So as we stand, Brother Jim's coming. The pianist is on her way. If you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend,